Hey, it's Britta LaFont here with the IDD program at UAB. Today is February 2nd, 2019, and we are talking about why worked examples are a good idea. So let's start with an illustration. Have you ever observed a ballet class? If you haven't, it's a beautiful thing, whether it's rows of poised, strong ballerinas on point, or groups of bouncy first graders trying to contain the wiggles. So let's picture that group of six-year-old girls wearing light pink ballet shoes and tights and black leotards with round buns atop their heads. They're watching a grown-up ballerina demonstrate a routine. And after the complete demonstration, she then walks through each step slowly, cautioning them about possible difficulties or typical mistakes. Next, she leads them in practice. These beginners will work on segments, increasing their independence till they dance the whole piece without assistance, like they will the night of the performance. Ballet is taught, especially to novices, using the principle of worked examples. A worked example is a step-by-step demonstration of how to complete a task, which is especially helpful to novices like our six-year-old ballerinas. But novices are found in various contexts, regardless of age. Cambridge Dictionary describes a novice as a person who is beginning to learn a job or an activity and has little or no experience or skill in it. In higher education, though they are grown-ups, our learners are often novices. The principle of worked examples says that when the learners are inexperienced and the content is complex, worked examples increase learning transfer as compared to practice problems. So like the little ballerinas, our adult novices need to see the whole process done correctly, preferably more than once, before they are comfortable working alone. So why is that? I mean, there's great value in practice, right? So I wondered, why is learning transfer more likely and more consistent with worked examples? Well, our little ballerinas exemplify John Sweller's cognitive load theory, which says learning happens when limited cognitive resources are managed well. Sweller also pioneered research on worked examples, and he says two factors, learner experience and the complexity of the content, influence the learner's ability to manage information. Experienced learners have built cognitive structures called schemas, which help them to process, organize, and store new information. And novices don't have this cognitive architecture to house new information. They've just not built the schemas yet. And since their brains can't carry all the bits and details, they're easily overloaded. So when you look at your learners, do you see prima ballerinas or six-year-old novices? Because like that six-year-old, your learners can be quickly overloaded if you don't account for their inexperience. In fact, you have a pivotal role in moving them from worked examples to independent performance. Vygotsky would call you an MKO, a more knowledgeable other, the person who accompanies the novice through the zone of proximal development, that place at the edge of their very limits where they cannot perform without help. Collins calls the learner-instructor relationship a cognitive apprenticeship. And cognitive apprenticeship asserts that experts possess explicit and implicit knowledge, skills, and attitudes that novices do not. And novices learn from observing the example of experts. Well, Bandura's theory of modeling agrees with cognitive apprenticeship, cognitive load theory, and worked examples. Bandura said learning would be exceedingly laborious, not to mention hazardous, if people had to rely solely on the effects of their own actions to inform them what to do. So in modeling, novices are able to borrow the expertise from more experienced learners while they avoid cognitive overload. And this is just what we see at play with worked examples. So thanks for listening to our podcast. And from the IDD program at UAB, happy learning!
You can find references to the theories and research that we talked about today in the show notes. And I also have included a few links to some great instructional design websites. Thanks again.